What's up, listeners? Blue Wire has a new podcast coming at you soon. Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. On the podcast, they chat about topics like the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to a boxing champ, his American dream, sports, music, culture, and family life, and much more. So listen to On the Hook with Abner Maris wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
Welcome to Week 7 of the 2020 NFL season here on the Fantasy Points Podcast. My name is Joe Dolan, and as we do each and every Tuesday here on the Fantasy Points Podcast, we're going to talk waiver wire, but we can't really talk waiver wire without talking injuries. And who better to talk injuries than with a doctor of physical therapy who knows how to rehab injuries? That's Edwin Porras, DPT. You can follow him on Twitter at Football Injury Doc and read his injury breakdowns every week on fantasypoints.com. And if you're not a subscriber, well, we're probably going to be lowering prices soon, and you can get an extra 10% off using the code PORUS10. Edwin, it is wonderful to be with you here on the Fantasy Points Podcast. Unfortunately, we always have to talk injuries with you. Maybe one day we'll just have you on the podcast to talk like baking or something like that makes people happy.
I don't think anybody wants to hear any of my baking advice or get any baking advice from me. I don't know what to do once you get all the ingredients out. I sort of just look at my wife, and she loves to bake, so I let her do that. And then I look at the ingredients when they're raw. I look up 45 minutes later, and this is this amazing cookie. So you don't want any of my advice. But yeah, okay. We could do something else.
Yeah, we'll do that. I think we did a live stream one time, and you talked tacos. So we can talk tacos right at some point. But let's get right down to business here. Injuries here in week number 7. Now, it wasn't overall a bad injury. Now, obviously, last week we had the awful Dak Prescott injury. We'd be hard-pressed to find something like that. But let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles, because they have yet again two more injuries. And I don't know if you saw Bill Barnwell from ESPN's tweet, but he took the Eagles' preseason depth chart and he put a line through anybody who's currently hurt. And basically, from like strings 1 through 3, the only names of note who aren't currently hurt are Carson Wentz and Jason Kelce. And it's unbelievable. It happens every year. But Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz are now hurt. Now, Chris Mortensen said it's 3 to 4 weeks for Zach Ertz with an ankle. The presumption from me is if it's 3 to 4 weeks, they're probably going to put him on IR because the Eagle. Well, they might not. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Because if they put you on IR, you have to miss 3 games, and the Eagles have their bye in Week 9. So they might not put Ertz on IR, but he's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. My guess is that's a high ankle sprain. Edwin, you've talked high ankle sprains, and this is where it's at for the Eagles. I don't think Zach Ertz is even the first Eagle tight end to get a high ankle sprain this year, because I think Dallas Goedert is on IR with it currently. Now, Goddard might be eligible to come off IR. He might be able to come off of IR, and they're just going to put Ertz on. But what is a high ankle sprain? What makes it unique for somebody like a tight end to play through? And could it explain, if Ertz was trying to fight through this, why he has struggled to get open so much this year?
Yes, so that's a really good question to ask, Joe. When it comes to high ankle sprains specifically, that does seem like that's what it is with Zach Ertz, simply because of the timeline. We can get into the Christian McCaffrey thing too, because I know he's been out. He's going to be out for a long time reportedly, but typically you don't see players miss more than 3 games or so with these high ankle sprains. And I can't tell you necessarily whether Ertz had one prior to this week or not. He could have fought through it. He could have been having issues. He could have been having pain and not said anything. And then he just re-aggravated it and is going to be on the shelf now. But the reason high ankle sprains are so difficult to play through is, and they take so long to heal, is because the ligament that's sort of in between your two lower leg bones, it's a big sheet of connective tissue. And that connective tissue gets very, very, relative to other parts of your body, gets very poor blood supply. And so it just takes a while for the nutrients and the blood flow to heal that part of your body up. And it's extremely painful to plant, to cut. This is a problem for a tight end, because when a tight end blocks more often than like a receiver, or maybe a little, probably definitely more than a running back. So when they're, you know, squatting down and bending their ankle and taking on contact, that's the exact mechanism that you can get a high ankle sprain. And so if you're doing that repeatedly, I can see how that might have been a problem for Ertz. The thing for Dallas Goedert is that he actually has an ankle fracture. It's a micro fracture somewhere along his foot ankle complex. The foot ankle complex is extremely difficult to tease apart. That's why we have foot and ankle specialists. So basically what I can say as an from outside looking in, I would be less, and the Eagles can activate any of their IR players this week, by the way. Like look for that today. But when it comes to bringing Dallas Goedert back this week, I'm curious how much longer they'll give him. And I'm wondering if they'll even activate him, simply because fractures you don't want to mess around with. If you bring a guy back before that bone density is built back up and before they're ready after a fracture, then that could be bad news. So overall, Zach Ertz, high ankle sprain, going to be out three to four games, like you were saying, maybe three games, 4 weeks. And Dallas Goedert, I'm not entirely sure if he is going to be back this week, but I definitely think he could be a stash.
Well, and here's what constitutes good news in Eagle land these days. Miles Sanders, 1 to 2 weeks, according to Chris Mortensen, with a knee injury. Now, I don't know if you saw the play, but it was that bizarre play where Sanders busted off a long run, and then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside recovered the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. He did not suffer a serious injury. I saw Dr. Chow on Twitter said there was no concern for an ACL based on the mechanism. I wonder, he went for an MRI, so you wonder if it's MCL, maybe meniscus. But it sounds to me, now, I mean, this is the Eagles we're talking about, because DeSean Jackson's been day-to-day since 2017. But it sounds to me like if the Eagles didn't play on Thursday, Sanders would have an outside shot to play this week. What did you see on that play, and what could that mean for his knee injury?
Yeah, that's a good question on Sanders. So the thing about Sanders' injury is like you said, the MRI came back and there was nothing remarkable on it. And the play was he got brought down, and when he was coming down, he sort of, his knee caved in, but his knee was also bent. And when you have that rotational and shear compressive forces going through the knee, that's going to damage the articular cartilage potentially, and the meniscus specifically. So that's probably what happened. I'm not going to say that's definitively what happened, because that's just what it looked like. That's the classic mechanism of injury. But he probably avoided, you know, significant damage, because even if it was, you know, moderate damage, they probably would have done some sort of knee scope like you saw with Joe Mixon in 2018. But they basically are just, you know, it's a non-specific sort of general mild to moderate injury. They want to let him rest. They want that swelling to go down in the knee. They want him to get to strengthen that leg back up. So yeah, if they weren't going to play Thursday, he might have an outside chance. I still think that he has an outside chance to come back prior to the bye in week. God, what are we in? We're seven now. I think he can come back prior to the bye, but I also wouldn't be surprised if the swelling hasn't gone down and if his pain is still at a certain, you know, level, if they wait to bring him back till after the bye.
Yeah, and again, the Eagles have the week 9 bye. So they have week 7, the mini bye, as they call. And then they play Dallas in week 8, who talk about injuries there. And then week 9, and then the Eagles might be somewhat healthy for the stretch run as they try to win the NFC East with 2 wins. So we're gonna see what's going on here. But now I just want to get into more of a philosophical question. I don't know if philosophical is the right word for it, but when you see a team like Philadelphia, I mean, this is now, don't forget, even when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, they did so without Carson Wentz. They did so without Jason Peters. Alshon Jeffrey played through a torn rotator cuff in his shoulder. So the Eagles clearly had injuries even that year. And then they have been decimated the last 3 years. when you see one team like them and Charger fans, all 12 of them would point to me and say, hey, us too, man. What do we got to do? Like, what is there something that can be done when a team like Philadelphia is constantly dealing with injuries year after year? Does that speak to something that's going on in the building, or is it just continual bad luck? And I know with the Eagles, Howie Roseman's done a poor job. This is an old team. And when they're older, you know, you look at Jason Peters, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffery, all these guys are in their 30s. So, I mean, those guys are going to get hurt more often by nature. But is there something that can be done? Is there something you can do in the building to say, hey, we are decimated by injuries year after year. What are we doing wrong? Is there an answer to that question?
You know, there's no one correct answer, but I think that we have to start with the fundamental understanding that injuries in the NFL just happen. I just tweeted this morning that there's actually a massive study. The sample was huge. It's a descriptive epidemiological study. How's that for a phrase on this Tuesday morning? It basically looked at the concept of injuries in the NFL in general. What they found that there was a 2.3% injury-free game rate. So only 2.3% of games in the NFL. This was from a period of, I believe, 2010 to 2014. Only 2.3% of those games were injury-free. So injuries happen. And I think part of what plays into the Eagles having a lot of injuries and the Chargers having a lot of injuries and how that plays into the public perception is that we think because they're happening to sort of higher profile players that they're an exception. And that's the fundamental like assumption that when you ask that question, and I'm not entirely sure if that's the case that they do have more injuries or if it's just to the skill players. So that's where I would start. And then the second thing I would say too is that I've seen reports of the Eagles pretty much doing what they can as much as they can to try to prevent these things. I will say that high ankle sprains are contact injuries. Fractures happen. Those are sort of considered high force, just a football injury. When Miles Sanders injury, that was a contact injury. There's not a lot you can do there. So if you were to say like, okay, Carson Wentz, Miles Sanders, Arthega Whiteside, and now Travis Fulgham, Megatron. No, wait, which one is it? I get them confused. So if those guys were suffering hamstring strains and groin strains, right, all together, I'd be like, huh, I wonder what that physical training, that strength and conditioning regimen looks like. And I wonder what their training loads look like and their work volumes look like. But this is just sort of a hodgepodge of injuries. So that's a long-winded answer to give you. I'm sorry, I know I'm going off the rails this morning, but essentially what I'm saying is we can't definitively say that the Eagles do have more injuries. And even if they do, it's really difficult to just not chalk it up to just being football and a contact sport. And like you said, older individuals on the team.
Yeah, Football Outsiders does do a kind of a statistical breakdown of injuries that they call games lost to injuries. And the Eagles have consistently ranked towards the bottom of that. So, like, there is a way to figure out that they have lost more players to injuries. But, like, I understand what you're saying. Like, it's like, you know, Carson Wentz tore his ACL, okay? Like, you know, yeah, he got sandwiched between two defenders. No trainer is going to prevent that. And I think just like, you know, you go back because even Howie Roseman said it this offseason. In January, he said this because the Eagles had been ravaged by injuries for like a third consecutive season. And reporters are asking Howie Roseman, what's going on? And he said, we got to figure it out. Hope is not a strategy. Well, I mean, I you sign 38-year-old Jason Peters, who's been consistently hobbled the last few years. And yeah, you're not. Hope is not a strategy, but there's probably a way to avoid that. Of course, you probably don't sign Jason Peters if Brandon Brooks and Andre Dillard don't get hurt in the first place. So it's just, you like you said, that was a long-winded way of saying the Eagles are having just ass luck.
Right. I mean, it's probably a little bit of both, if we're being honest. I mean, there's probably somewhere in between of they do have bad luck. And there might be something going on that they can't see that is leading to more injuries. It's probably a combination of all of those things. And it's tough. It's tough.
And counting on DeSean Jackson, who hasn't played a full season since the Cretaceous period. I mean, that's right. It's probably part of it, right?
Exactly.
This is the way the season's going right now, Edwin. We just spent 15 minutes on this podcast talking only about the Philadelphia Eagles injuries. And as we wake up here on Tuesday, October 20th, it's before 10 a.m. Eastern. They're probably the favorites to win the NFC East after what happened to Dallas last night.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Like, I mean, it's, and now look, and not to say, I mean, Dallas has had a ton of injuries as well. Now, Dallas has been, has had more luck in recent years, but talk about the injury bug biting a team hardcore this year. So it's been a bloodbath in the NFC East. There's a couple other injuries. Raheem Mostert is probably going to go on IR. It looks like a high ankle sprain for him. You just broke down high ankle sprains. But for somebody like Raheem Mostert, who had a knee injury earlier this season, could those be associated, Edwin, or is this simply another case of bad luck? And given that he had a knee injury earlier this season, could there be a longer road to recovery for Raheem Mostert?
Yeah, I mean, it could be something that they're like, okay, dude, let's get this figured out. Like, did your knee still hurt? Did you come back too early? What was going on there? This is sort of theoretically, and maybe you can edit this part out if Ben wants to do so, but there's this mental masturbation that goes on in the sports med community about like, oh, does a weak MCL cause, you know, a high ankle sprain or what are the, it's sort of all theoretical, but you know, there is some sort of thought process. There's a school of thought out there that since he had some sort of knee injury that could have led down the chain to cause something else, not necessarily compensation, but just literal, you know, tissue laxity. So there is something to that potentially, but we won't ever be able to tell. These are two injuries that do happen to, they have very similar mechanisms of injury, an MCL sprain and a high ankle sprain. So it's definitely possible that he has had both of these that have been lingering at the same time, and now it just got exacerbated. So yeah, expect 3 to 4 weeks for Raheem Mostert to miss. And I don't know, is it Jamichael Hasty season, Joe?
I actually drafted him in a couple of deep best balls earlier this offseason. I'm hoping they go back to Jerick McKinnon, who was really kicking ass.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know. They didn't let him. They didn't let Jerick McKinnon cook here in the last couple of weeks with Mostert back. But yeah, Jamichael Hasty is going to be somebody we're probably going to talk about on the Waiver Wire podcast with Tom Brawley. A couple other minor injuries we should probably just talk on. DeVante Parker. DeVante Parker is he had a groin injury, however they're going on bye. They were blowing out the Jets, so I don't think there was something to worry about there. Why risk him? Why get him more hurt when you have a legitimate shot to win the AFC East? Jonnu Smith is probably the big one here, Edwin, because I did a headfirst dive into the 3-foot section of the pool, which was a bad idea on Jonnu Smith. But in every game that he's played fully this year, he's been a top 12 tight end. So he's a tight end one, and he goes out in that game against the Texans, and Anthony Firkser kind of picks up where he left off. But Adam Schefter says this is a minor ankle injury, and he's actually got a shot to play this week. Did you see the play? Or if not, when you say a guy leaves a game on Sunday and has a shot to play the next Sunday with an ankle injury, what does that tell you that is?
Yeah, that's a good question. When Schefter reports that it's not severe, I think that's there's just so much room for error there. And I don't say that in a way that, you know, say that the reports aren't true. Because when Chef, for example, I think you can look at the example, and this goes into like trying to predict what's going to happen with players. Schefter reported for Sanders, he's going to miss 1 to 2 weeks. And for Jonnu Smith, he reported it's not a serious injury. Okay, well, the Sanders report's a little more specific. The Jonnu Smith report isn't as specific. So we need to watch his practice reports. We need to watch what his activity level looks like. And this is can be a scary high ankle sprain issue. I haven't seen the video, but I'm imagining as he was blocking, because that's what I read somewhere. I think it was Gene Bramble's breakdown that he was blocking and it got rolled up on. And that's typically a mechanism to get a high ankle sprain. That's not to mean he's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. It could be a general quote unquote mild one. So it's just something to monitor. If Schefter says it's not serious, that could mean, you know, quite a few different things, but you know, we don't necessarily expect him to miss 2, 3, 4 games or anything like that quite yet.
And Mark Ingram comes down with also what they're calling a minor ankle injury, and they're going on bye as well. So John Harbaugh says he probably has a chance to play coming out of the Week 8 bye. Follow him on Twitter, Dr. Edwin Porras. And Edwin, the disadvantage of doing these things on Tuesday is we don't get to see the practice reports. But when we get the practice reports and you see more video, you will be doing analysis for fantasypoints.com and on your Twitter account at FBInjuryDoc. Dr. Edwin Porras, thank you so much. Go take care of your patients. I hope you have a wonderful week 7, my friend.
You too, Joe.
even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Only the best people. They're the very best. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 more times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. That's one word. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Tom. Not a terribly busy week on the waiver wire. So we had a little bit of a talk when we were off air about how we're going to do this. And I think we're going to start by breaking down a couple of teams anyway. He is Tom Brawley. My name, as you well know, if you listen to the first half of this podcast, is Joe Dolan. Tom works on the waiver wire while the games are going on Sunday. And, you know, he's pumping in live analysis here. Tom, though, we've had busy weeks. This one is not particularly busy.
No, not really. I mean, there's some guys left over from last week with the Chargers that, you know, were on bye week. If they're still hanging out there on your waiver wire, a couple Eagles situations where they just keep piling up injuries and more guys become relevant off the waiver wire. And, you know, just the San Francisco backfield situation with Raheem Mostert picking up a high ankle injury. That's the one of the more interesting ones of the week. I think there might be something the good comes out of that backfield.
So let's take a look and start with, let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles, because there's two more injuries for Philly. Miles Sanders looks like he has kind of a minor meniscus injury, as Edwin Porras was saying at the top of the show. And Zach Ertz looks to have some sort of high ankle sprain. So there are a couple guys out there on the waiver wire for Philadelphia at running back and tight end you can look into. And still, that guy, Travis Fulgham, he's still available in a lot of leagues, and it looks like he's for real. So let's talk about this Philadelphia Eagles situation, Tom, and let's start in the backfield where Miles Sanders is going to miss at least this game. Maybe he'll miss week 8 as well because they go on bye in week number 9, and that probably opens the door here for Boston Scott and or Corey Clement.
Yeah, you make a good point there. They have the extra time. We saw them earlier in the year. I mean, from all of the reports that we got, that, you know, basically Miles Sanders was ready to play week 1, and they played it extra super conservative with him, didn't play him, kind of cost him that Washington game. But, you know, we have that in the recent past that they'll play it very conservative with him. And, you know, we got to take in last night's result. It's not like the Cowboys are running away with this division. You know, this division is going to go down to the wire here. So, you know, if they have any questions about Sanders' health for week 8, they're going to rest him. So, you know, this backfield is probably up for grabs for the next 2 weeks. And, you know, Boston Scott was the guy kind of in that week 1 game. You know, he didn't really do much. He had 11 touches for 54 yards. Corey Clement is also a guy that could factor in here as well, if you're going to go a little deeper down the waiver wire, if you're playing in a deeper format. But yeah, I would expect these guys to be relevant for the next 2 weeks. Boston Scott's, you know, he was obviously heavily owned at the beginning of the year whenever Sanders was out of the lineup, but, you know, now he's available in 85% of Yahoo leagues. So, you know, maybe he's a guy you can pick up and plug and play here for the next 2 weeks.
Let's talk tight end, Tom, because while Zach Ertz is going to miss at least through the bye, which is week number 9, which would mean he misses the next 2 games, Dallas Goedert had an ankle fracture. He has a possibility, a chance to play this week. And frankly, Tom, before he got hurt, he was out playing Zach Ertz anyway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Zach Ertz, it hasn't been great for him recently here. I expect, you know, when everybody is healthy here in this tight end room, I think Goddard is the guy that you want to own over Zach Ertz. And, you know, on our own site here on Sunday morning, you know, Adam Kaplan reported that, you know, it's looking like there's a chance that Goddard could be ready before their week 9 bye. So, you know, maybe we'll get a little bit more information on his status here. The Eagles play on a short week. They play Thursday night. So maybe we'll get a little bit information on Tuesday or Wednesday here that he might return. And we know a lot of sites have also moved back their waivers process. It's not necessarily that it runs on Wednesdays anymore. I believe Yahoo's now runs on Thursday morning. So that gives us a little bit more time to gather information. But Goddard, I think he could be a tight end one the rest of the year, given all the rash of injuries that the Eagles have experienced. And just, you know, Travis Fulgham has done a nice job recently, but you know, Goddard, guy that is looking the best when he's been out in the field and commands targets. But maybe, you know, in the interim, if, you know, it's no Ertz, it's no Goddard, maybe Richard Rodgers, you know, as a streamer this week, you know, there's not a lot of options for the Eagles for Carson Wentz to throw the ball to. So maybe he's, you know, in a very, you know, if you're very desperate for a tight end this week, maybe Richard Rodgers would even be a guy to consider here if Ertz and Goddard are both out.
Could you imagine saying before the season that we're going to be talking about Richard Rodgers on the Waiver Wire podcast in week number 7? I mean, that's how things have gone for the
Eagles. I mean, the tight end position is pretty ugly this year. I mean, it has been for the last couple years. And, you know, we got some buys this week, Ravens, Colts, Vikings, and Dolphins. So, you know, maybe, you know, somebody's rostering Mark Andrews and doesn't have a backup tight end in that situation. So, you know, there's people that might be looking at Richard Rodgers this week.
And one more for the Eagles. Tom, you mentioned him already. Everybody on planet Earth, you would think, has heard, who plays fantasy, has heard of Travis Fulgham by now. I don't know what you need to see to know that this guy is for real right now. And maybe he's not in the future. He's not an 80-catch, 1,200-yard receiver. But he's somebody who I know the Lions fans are upset that they don't have right now because Marvin Jones isn't doing anything. He just looks like somebody Carson Wentz trusts. Wentz loves when receivers go up and get the football, and Fulgham's doing that right now.
Yeah, 3 straight games with a touchdown and 13 fantasy points. So that's getting it done. That's wide receiver 3 territory. Obviously, you know, 2 weeks ago he was a wide receiver 1 with his monster game against the Steelers. So, you know, and now the injuries, like we said, keep piling up here with Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz on the lineup. So they need him more than ever. And, you know, he gets a pretty tough matchup this week against James Bradbury. He's been playing very well for the Giants. I would expect him to travel all over the field this week with them. But, you know, this isn't a situation where we're shying away from. He's going to see, I would expect him to see volume this week. You know, and he's been playing pretty well here. So time to pick him up. He's still out there in 70% of Yahoo leagues. Maybe a lot of people were a little bit skeptical, you know, of his performance against the Steelers. But now it's 3 weeks in a row that he's come through. He can safely be added. And in a lot of situations, he can be played as a wide receiver 3 this week.
Let's talk about the Chargers, Tom, who are coming off of bye. We know Justin Herbert was an option. He's actually he's available in less than 50% of Yahoo leagues right now. So in most competitive leagues, he's been added already. But there are still 2 guys who are available in more than 50% of Yahoo leagues who can help your team going forward, and that's Justin Jackson and Mike Williams.
Yeah, yeah, you bring up even Herbert there. That's you know, 3 guys that I think could be difference makers down the stretch here, and they have a very nice stretch of games coming up, you know, starting this week. So you know, they get the Jaguars, and I believe they have some. I don't have the schedule off the top of my head here. Oh, I have it right here: Denver, Las Vegas, Miami, and the Jets over the next 5 games, and just some immaculate spots after a bit of a tough schedule to start the season here. So. Justin Jackson looked like the best back. Joshua Kelly, you know, obviously we advocated him for him early in the year. And, you know, he started to turn back into a rookie here a little bit. You know, he's you know, maybe this bye week is, you know, good for him. He's also, he's widely available too. He's available in 45% of Yahoo leagues. So, but Jackson looked like the better guy in that Monday night game. I have a feeling they're going to kind of go with a hot hand approach here, but Jackson has looked better more recently, but I would feel pretty comfortable, you know, especially with bye week starting to set in here, playing Jackson or Kelly as, you know, low end RB2s, flex options this week, you know, in a pretty good matchup against the Jaguars. And Mike Williams, you know, Justin Herbert's, you know, he's met every expectation and wildly surpassed them, quite frankly. You know, there wasn't, you know, pretty low expectations for him coming out of the draft. And, you know, he's playing very well, you know, throwing a very good deep ball right now. And, you know, he's given Mike Williams chances on the perimeter and came through big time in that Saints game with a long touchdown and another red zone touchdown as well. And there was a long jump ball pass that he went up and got over Marshawn Lattimore in that game. So and now Keenan Allen also, you know, has been dealing with back spasms. He left that game early against the Saints. So, you know, back spasms can linger a bit and can be an issue going forward here. So there's a path for Mike Williams to be very relevant. I kind of view him as a high end wide receiver three right now going forward with Justin Herbert playing pretty well and with that schedule upcoming here.
Let's talk about the 49ers backfield situation, Tom. It looks like Raheem Mostert's going to end up on IR with a high ankle sprain. And, you know, that doesn't sound good to me, especially since he's already dealt with the MCL earlier this year, as Dr. Edwin Porras pointed out at the top of the show. Now, Jerick McKinnon was a legitimate RB1. When Mostert was out for those two games earlier, but he's kind of faded away here. And if you're in a deeper league, there is some appeal to picking up Jamichael Hasty here for the next month.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, if you have McKinnon, I'd be feeling really good right now. I think his usage is going to pick up here, but you know, kind of the flow of that game lended itself to, you know, more of a power rusher type. They were, you know, up by multiple scores against the Rams, and they had used McKinnon pretty heavily. So, you know, it was almost like a chance for them to give this Jamichael Hasty, you know, undrafted free agent out of Baylor this past spring here. So, you know, Jeff Wilson was, you know, he was an inactive last week with an injury. Tevin Coleman, we haven't heard a peep about him. I would think that, you know, he might be close to a return, but
I do have a peep.
Oh, you do? What's the word?
Kyle Shanahan says he's a long shot for this week.
Okay. So, well, that's, you know, very good information for us here. Jamichael Hasty, you know, we'll see about Wilson's status, but, you know, I could see them wanting to work him in more. He's more of the talented back, and there was, you know, just glowing reports coming out about him throughout training camp. So, you know, we saw this was about that time last year whenever, you know, Tevin Coleman went down. He had the 3-touchdown game and then kind of, you know, got hurt and slipped into oblivion. And we saw Raheem Mostert kind of emerge in this backfield. Maybe this is, you know, history repeating itself again here in 2020. You know, I'll be Jamichael Hasty will be one of my top, you know, this is a pretty thin waiver wire here this week. I'm going to be taking most of my chances on Jamichael Hasty, hoping I get lightning in a bottle. I do expect McKinnon to kind of be the back here, but, you know, I think this backfield can support two guys. And if Raheem Mostert's going to be out the next month, maybe Hasty can have you know, a nice role in this backfield. I'm going to take my shots on him this week.
Like you said, Tom, it is a light waiver wire week, but you probably do have some questions. And if you have questions for Tom and me, make sure you subscribe to FantasyPoints.com Premium, because our live stream, our waiver wire bidding for points live stream, is each and every Tuesday. It is back to 8 p.m. Eastern this week. I did kind of like the 5 p.m. one, Tom.
Yeah, I like that too, Joe. It kind of ends my night a little earlier, but we want to accommodate people as possible at 8 o'clock. You know, for the West Coasters and the people in the Midwest, that gives them more time to get off of work and come join us on the live stream.
Yeah, so 8 p.m., we're going to be there tonight answering your questions. We'll see exactly how much, we'll see exactly how many questions we get, but there might be some questions. Maybe you guys had a bunch of injuries, so you can join us on that bidding for points live stream. Follow us on Twitter at FG_Dolan. and at Tom Brawley. This has been the Week 7 edition of the Waiver Wire podcast here on FantasyPoints.com. Thank you to Dr. Edwin Porras. Thank you to Tom Brawley. And thank you to you guys for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at FantasyPoints.com.